Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today on Piano Jazz, we're remembering one of the greatest jazz bassists of all time, the judge, Milt Hinton. Not only was Milt innovative on the bass, he worked with just about every major jazz star of his day, from Cab Calloway to John Coltrane. Milt joined me for this Piano Jazz program in 1991.
You know, you must have started when you were three, Milt.
Not really, you know. I'm a little older than that.
Well, tell me something.
Okay.
Who are some of the people you played with?
Okay, I'll tell you just some of the people. It goes something like this. I was born in Mississippi in the year of 1910. We moved up to Chicago, and I never got back again. Now, I played with Cab and Louie, with Doc and Streisand, too, with Clark and Prez and Dizzy and Marin and some other fellas, too. I jammed with Benny Goodman, with Basie, Duke, and Earl. I toured England with Bing Crosby and the Middle East with Pearl. Now, in 1939, I met Mona. That's my bride. And nothing's been the same ever since. You know, I fell in love. She blew my mind, took the money, and then she went shopping, and I seldom see her since. I even worked with Jackie Gleason and played rags with Hubie Blake. I've been to the White House many times, and that's icing on the cake. I even strolled with Freddie Keppert and Tiny Parham, too. Now I'm the oldest bass player standing. I got shoes as old as you. Now I've had a wonderful time when I was in my prime. Now I'm tired, and I think I'm going to go home.
Oh, Milt, that's wonderful.
Hey, thank you.
You know, I guess the first time I heard you do that was when we were touring in Europe. We had such a nice time, and where the heck were we? Antibes.
Yeah, that's right.
No, wait a minute. It was in Denmark, and we were sitting on the couch with all those press people.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden you went into that, and that really kind of relaxed everybody.
Yeah, well, they wanted to ask us some questions, and everybody was a little shy. The guys were shy about asking questions, and I jumped into this thing that my dear friend Dr. David Berger, the co-author of my book, Basslines, wrote this for me, and I think just to tell everybody in rap form some of the things that I've done and some of the places that I've been.
Well, you know, that's one of the best raps I've ever heard. I mean, you can have most of them, but that one is really cute, and it really tells a story. Well, now you... A lot of people don't know this. You actually were born in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
That's true. 1910. That's 81 years ago.
Wow. It's amazing. You know, you've done so much. And watching you when we were on the tour, you have so much energy and you just love to play, don't you?
I love to play. And I've been extremely lucky health-wise. And that's very important, you know.
Well,
I come from a family. My grandmother was a slave of Joe Davis, Jefferson Davis's father, who was president of the South, and she lived to be 103.
Oh,
my mother lived to be 93. So buying plane wrecks and automobiles, I got a good chance.
Well, you know all the tunes, so you're not going to have any problem. Just keep doing more of the same.
As long as I can play with you, I'm happy.
Well, we did have a good time. But tell me about... life in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I mean, how did you get started playing?
Well, I started in Chicago. See, I moved up to Chicago, and my mother was an organist of a church.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to be a violin player, so I started out playing violin when I was 13 years old. And I worked up until 1929, Al Jolson made the first sound movie. And before that, they had lots of orchestras with violins in it playing for the sound on the stage, because there was no sound on the screen. 1929, when Jolson made the jazz, I think it was the Jazz Singer, or whatever the name of the movie, there was no more needed for violins and orchestras in the pit, because the sound was on the screen. And in Chicago, every violin player lost his job.
Oh,
but jazz
goodness.
Was very prominent. Jimmy Noon was there, and Louis Armstrong was there, General Morton were there, and they had all these combos with bass fiddles in it. And I said, heck, I better get an instrument that I can make a living with. And since the bass is like a violin, it's tuned in fourths, and the violin is tuned in fifths, all you have to do is just back it up a little bit and grow. So that's what I began to do. And later I got to teachers and tried to learn how to play it correctly.
Boy, it's amazing, you know. But before we go any further, let's you and I play something.
Yeah, that's good.
Standing here, you've got the bass, I've got the piano.
Okay.
How about like All the Things You Are?
That's a good tune.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Like a pseudo fugue type thing, you know.
Beautiful, beautiful. Fans.
That's fun.
It's just beautiful.
Listen, tell me about your first book, and then tell me about the new one.
Oh yeah, I've been lucky. For the last 50 years, I've been taking pictures of musicians. Somebody gave me a camera many years ago, an August C3, and it was being introduced on the market for $25. And I,
goodness,
that was just thrilled me. And since I was on the road traveling with Cab Calloway, whose band I played in for 16 years, I was traveling all over the country, and I thought it'd be a nice idea to take pictures of musicians in their own habitat, the way I saw them on the bus, sleep, in restaurants, eating, and all that sort of stuff, different situations like that. So I started taking pictures of all these different people, never thinking anything would happen to them, and I filed them away. And I got a young student that started studying with me named David Berger. And he was interested in it. He became like my own son. He was around me all the time. And he didn't inquire about these pictures. He said, "Milt, who is this?" And I said, "Oh, that's Chew Berry. I took that in Atlanta, Georgia." And he started writing and filed all these pictures. And now we have over 50,000 negatives indexed and cross-indexed of all the musicians that I've ever worked with and been around.
Remember the day we all had to go up to Harlem for
That's a great picture.
Famous picture.
Yeah, and I was taking pictures,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the photographer took some, but you were taking some on the side.
He was trying to get, the photographer wanted all of a sudden one group's up against the steps.
Yes.
But I saw musician in their own habitat, water seeking his own level. All the piano players and the ladies were together. That was you and Maxine Sullivan and Mary Williams, all standing out there laughing and talking.
Seeking our level. Yeah,
that's right. And all of the drummers were over there in one corner. And I thought this was amazing. So I began to shoot these kind of things with Joe Jones and Gene Krupa and Zooty Singleton and George Wetland and Art Blakey, all these groups. And I got pictures of these guys in this kind of group. And so we finally came out with a book called Baseline, with pictures and stories about all these wonderful things.
That's a fabulous book.
Thank you. It's in its second printing. And now we've got a new book that's coming out now, and this is called Overtime. It's got all new pictures of different pictures of musicians. I've been trying to photograph and catch all of the different group of musicians and the captions in there about who they played with and the nice things that happened to them.
But listen, tell me, like David Berger, you said he was a student of yours. I guess you started taking students years ago.
Yeah, well, he came around. I really didn't really start taking students. I liked to share my experiences and my expertise with other young people. And he kept coming by the house and asking questions, and I started working with him. And he's from a very wealthy family, which I didn't know at the time. I just wanted to, because he was 15 years old, and he gave me $5. He had $5 for his first lesson, and it was a Saturday, and I couldn't take a whole $5 from a kid on Saturday. So I took three and gave him two back.
Oh, and that's funny.
Yeah, and I asked him about it later. I found out his father was very wealthy, and they did me some very wonderful favors, and we're still dear friends at this very day.
Isn't he a conductor?
No, not that David Berger.
That's another David Berger.
David Goddard Berger is past chairman of the sociology department at Temple University.
Oh, okay.
That's my David
Berger.
That's
your David Berger, yeah. Because the other one was the conductor at some of the things you did in classical jazz.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't he?
Lincoln Center, yeah.
In fact, that's so interesting to me, that you played a concert with Wynton Marsalis.
Yeah, well, Wynton and
But I'm thinking to myself, it ranges from kids of 22 and 23 all the way up to you.
To 80 years old guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. That was.
Well, I'm so proud of those young men like Wynton Marsalis and Bradford Marsalis and Terrence Blanchard and the whole group of young ones, Scott Hamilton. I knew these kids when they were young, and I feel very good that they feel like they want to be around me sometimes, and they remember me, and I'm very grateful to them.
Well, Spike, I mean, they should. You're such a great player. Hey, let's do another tune.
Good.
What else
like?
Can we do? Well, let's have a go at My One and Only Love.
Okay.
Are you going to start this out?
Yeah, I think I was trying to start it out. Hang on. Thank you.
nice. That's one of my...
You sound so great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Milt. That's one of my all-time favorite tunes, actually. Well, this is really fun and something different. All you people listening, my guest today is bassist Milt Hinton. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. So, now what were you doing that before we went on the tour? You were teaching at Skidmore?
No, yeah, I teach master class at Skidmore every summer. Young bass players from all over the country come out and pick my brain, sit around and talk, and we spent a wonderful time summer together. But I had to cut short this summer because I was going on this wonderful tour with you and Mr. Benny Carter and the great Louis Belson and Al Gray and Sweets Edison. It was a great tour. I'm just delighted to have done it.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of fun. But now, how do you deal with, like, the bass players of today? They all want to play with such technique and playing up high and all that kind of stuff. What do you tell them?
Well, I think it's marvelous. But the first thing I try to talk to them about, and the way I feel about bass, the word bass means bottom as far as I'm concerned. Bass means bottom. It's the lowest instrument in the orchestra. Lowest musical voice in the orchestra. It's the lowest musical voice, vocal voice, and it means support. It means the bottom. And architecturally, it means support. A building won't stand strong unless the base is firm. So consequently, I have the feeling in my time that the base is that I'm like Atlas. I'm holding this band up, and I have
sometimes
to.
Sometimes you are a bit.
Well, thank you. So I think that's along the line. But I like young people playing. That some of them, and some of them are just playing wonderful. Now that we have different strings and different ways to play a bass, different bridges and good technique, they've done all of the technique, and they're like young children. When you have a little baby, you try to give them, come on, say daddy, say mommy, say daddy, and you can't get them. And then pretty soon, when they're 2 or 3 years old, they start, daddy, mommy, daddy, mommy, mommy, daddy, what is this? You say, my God, I wish this kid would stop talking. So then they've learned how to speak. But then we have to teach them how to phrase things. At first, you must make sentences, and after you make sentences, then you make paragraphs, and paragraphs make chapters. So as they grow and they learn how to do these things, and it's wonderful. But to me, to get back to them, I like to show them some of the things that happened when I was a kid. When I first started playing, I was listening to all the great bass players like Wellman Broad that played with Duke Ellington and Pops Foster and Sam Brown that played with Paul Whiteman. And they were slapping the bass in those days. And I'd like to do one of those kind of things to show you how slap bass is.
I've always been interested in that. It was how that started.
Yeah, well, I heard all these great guys doing it. And like each generation does better than the next. We are always out to it. These young kids are playing circles around me now. So I was trying to play circles around these great bass players that were slapping the bass. And the old guys were slapping the bass like this. So when I came along, I said, yeah, I can do better than this. I said, got going. So then I kept that going and it disappeared. And so now when I see all these young guys doing something, I say, well, maybe I better do something to get myself over a little bit. So I concocted a little tune, if you let me play it for you,
so-called
Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. Is that cool?
Well, sure.
Okay, it goes something like this. Thank you.
Boy, that thing is really a show-stopping piece.
Well, it's an exhibition of calisthenics anyway. Thank you.
But, you know, I have a chance to watch you close over here in the studio, Milton. How do you do that? Do you put your thumb? How does it make that noise? Because you play the note and you get the slapping sound at the same time. I just don't know what it is you do. Yeah. Well, maybe it's a secret.
Not really. It's not really a secret. It's a matter of, like everything else in music, it's a matter of doing something slowly until you get it. And one of the truly great bass players who has to consider the guru of bass is Ray Brown, is doing a study of it. And he had me to play it for him on, he's going to make some kind of a program out of it. And it starts slow, like you slap on the A and the E string.
Yeah.
Slap that on the A and the E string, and you pick a quarter and slap a quarter.
I see.
Then you pick a quarter and slap 2/8.
I see.
Then you pick a quarter and slap 3/8. Triplets. Then you pick a quarter and slap 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So then you put it together.
Wow. Well, now, listen, I was thinking, it's just amazing. You were on a record that was a big hit a little while ago with Branford Marsalis, thing called Trio Jeepy.
Yeah, Trio Jeepy. We just went in the studio. Well, you know, I used to go out down to New Orleans. I'd go down to New Orleans and go out to the school. And there were kids, I'd go out to school and talk with them and encourage them. Their father's a dear friend of mine, Ellis Marsalis.
Yeah.
And I'd go out to the school with Ellis and talk to these kids. And I had my camera. So now I come down and I take pictures. I show these guys pictures when they were with their Boy Scout suits on.
Oh,
and here they're a great
God.
Musician. And the young one, Delphio, comes and visits with me and stays at my house so he can listen to my records and pick my brain. And he told his brothers about me playing and slapping the bass. And Bradford decided to do a record with me. And it's been very successful. I got more credit for that record than I did the whole 16 years I was in Cab Calloway's band.
It was really wonderful. I can't remember all the tunes on there, but I think one of them was
Three Little Words. Yeah.
It was great hearing Branford play some of those old tunes.
Oh, yeah. They're just marvelous. Record. They've never forgotten their background.
No, it's funny because I was down there in New Orleans. I also have some pictures of us playing a concert when they were about 14.
That's right. That's marvelous.
And, except that I'm sitting at the piano, and it's really funny. We were playing in the Hyatt Hotel, I think. It was Donald Harrison and Branford and Winton. I forget the names of all the kids, but boy, just little kids.
Sure.
You know. Hey, how about playing another tune?
Good.
What should we do?
Yeah.
How about something we did on our gig together?
Right. Why don't you do that thing where you play the piano and...
Oh, Will I Weep?
Yeah, that sounds great. Would you?
All right.
Do something else. Whatever you want to do.
Fine.
Great.
Will, here goes.
Okay.
You know, I really enjoyed playing that tune with you over there, and people seem to like that. I mean, everywhere in Europe, everybody knows that song, don't they?
Yeah.
And Ronell wrote that tune, and that, I mean, that tune is, I think I've known that for almost as long as I've been around. That really
it's
is
beautiful. It's timeless. It's absolutely timeless
tune. Yes,
that's right.
In case you're all wondering what's going on in here, my guest is bassist Milt Hinton. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. I was just thinking, I'd love to hear you do that thing you sing, that one of those, Old Man Time, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just did an album for my 80th birthday, and it's called Old Man Time because I've been hanging around so long.
You mean the record is called
the
that?
Yeah, and I got all of my old friends together. I got a little Dizzy Gillespie's on there with me on one track, and we're talking in between tracks about things that happened back years ago. And the last track on the album, the band, everybody in the band is over 75. Cab Calloway was a vocalist. Doc Cheatham played trumpet. We had Buddy Tate on saxophone. It was just loaded with old guys. We had such a good time.
But everybody can play.
Oh, yeah. They were all good. And Buck Clayton made the arrangement.
It was
like old home week. So here's his story about Old Man Time. It's this guy that's followed me around for these 81 years. And it goes something like this. Old Man Time, he's so mean. He's the meanest man you've ever seen. He gave me youth, then he took it away. He took my curly hair and turned it gray. He made me rich, then made me poor. Oh, he's mean, that's for sure. All my dreams and all my schemes don't mean a thing. He gave me beauty, charm, and grace, then put wrinkles in my face. That's old man time. So play it, Marion. So mean. He's the meanest man you've ever seen. He gave me youth, then he took it away. He took my curly hair and turned it gray. He made me rich, then made me poor. Oh, Oh, he's mean, that's for sure. All my dreams and all my schemes don't mean a thing. He gave me beauty, charm and grace, then put wrinkles in my face. That's old man time. Some people call him arthritis, and others say bursitis. But no matter what his name, his game is still the same, to make me forget what I went to the store for or what it was I used to chase those girls for. That's old man time.
Oh, that's really great, Milton. Now, did you put that together yourself?
Yeah, I tried to put it together, concocted it. Yeah. I stole from everybody else and put some funny lyrics to it, and had a lot of fun with it.
You've just got so many things going all the time. What do you, I mean, do you have big plans for something coming up in the near future?
No, I'm just very happy and very grateful to the wonderful people all over the country and all over the world that have been receiving me and accepting me in my shadows of my life, all the wonderful jazz clubs that I go to play for around the country. And it makes me very happy. Every weekend I'm usually someplace playing and having a wonderful time meeting new friends and old friends and just enjoying it.
Because you did something I thought was crazy. When we ended the tour, you got on a plane and came to New York. We played the night before. We were in Madrid, went to New York and played the same night.
That's right.
I think that's fantastic. I don't know if I could do something
well,
like that.
You rise to the occasion. And people
but
like
you
to see
you. Just love to play so much.
I
that's
sure
really
do.
The whole thing.
I sure.
You know what we could do?
What?
Something we were fiddling around with when we were rehearsing over there in one of those towns. These Foolish Things, it's one
okay.
of my
All right.
tunes
like that?
I really love to play.
All right. I'll make an introduction, huh?
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Whew, that was nice.
Fabulous. We'll believe you. Believe you, like a mongoose.
This is a lot of fun and something different. My guest today is bassist Milt Hinton. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. You know, I was thinking, we were talking about the record date we did with Bud and Jimmy and all the guys.
Yeah.
I would love to play that tune. Jimmy played on it, and he played so pretty, and it was something I wrote called Stranger in a Dream.
Yeah, why don't you play that?
Can I play that for you?
Yeah, we'll listen to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You know, that's a few years ago, but you played on that thing.
Oh, that's great. I haven't heard it since, but you played so beautifully.
Well, I hadn't thought of that, too.
Give me a lead sheet of that sometime. I'd like to try to...
I'd love to hear you play it.
I'll try anything once.
That'd be something new you haven't done for a while. Hey, let's you and I do another of the good old tunes from the archives.
Okay. You got mine.
But before we go into it, in case I forget, you know, I just want to tell you, it's like having jazz history here today. It's just great having you on the show, Milt.
Well, thank you. We got a lot to talk about, and we can go back a long ways, and I go back much farther than you, so pick you up along the way, so it's been just beautiful.
We've always got something to talk about. Maybe we'll have more to talk about next time.
Yes, one of my dear friends, Joe Jones, used to say, it's been 90 mice.
He used to say some funny things. Joe Jones, I miss him. Yes. Well, let's see. This is How High the Moon. Yeah. And
let's make it high class, you know, how high the moon.
Well, let's see how high class we can be.
Okay, let's go at it.
Fun.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Milt Hinton from 1991. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Andrew Milano, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, executive producer William D. Hay. If you wish to contact us, Address email to pj@scetv.org. Address postal mail to 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks. Support also comes from Downbeat, an insider's guide to over 75 years of evolving jazz styles, on the web at downbeat.com. Original funding for this program was provided by Exxon Corporation. Funding for digital conversion was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.